news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. A standing ovation for President Trump in the Israeli parliament shortly after all 20 living hostages returned to Israel. Speaker of the Knesset, Amir Ohana, said he's nominating the president for the Nobel Peace Prize.
President Trump, you are the president of peace. There was not a single person on this planet who did more than you to advance peace.
And two buses of Palestinian prisoners have left an Israeli prison under the terms of the first phase of the peace agreement. President Trump will co-chair a peace summit later today in Egypt with other world leaders focusing on a long-term peace in the region. ABC contributor Steve Ganyard, a former defense official, says,
what happens next is really the question that's for the broader international community. Who's going to come in and be the international security force? Who's going to lead it?
This is ABC News.
For WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
This month, doctors are urging women to get screened for breast cancer. Isabella Nieto has more.
According to the American Cancer Society, one in eight women in the U.S. will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and serves as a reminder that understanding your personal risk could save your life. Dr. Cecilia Strode is an Aspirus Health breast surgeon. She says some patients are at a higher risk than others.
We would like to see the cancers that we see to be screen detected. And for that to happen, we need women to have the screening that is appropriate for them at their particular level of risk.
Family history, genetics, and other health factors can increase your chances of developing breast cancer. Strode says while family history is an important part of identifying risk factors, it's a small part.
Most patients who get cancer, breast cancer, don't have an actual family history of breast cancer in close relatives.
Strode says patients who have received treatment for other cancers also have a high risk of developing breast cancer.
Women who have high-risk breast biopsies with atypical findings, women who have had chest wall radiation as part of cancer treatment at a younger age, before 30. And then there are some other things as well, but those are the big ones.
Breast tissue density can also increase your risk. Strode says denser breast tissue requires more detailed scans.
For women who have really extremely dense breasts, and that is an official term, extremely dense breast, MRI imaging is going to be a much better way to screen.
Strode says even women who have had mammograms that appeared normal need to have a clinical breast exam in case they do need a biopsy. Strode recommends women get their mammograms and disclose any changes they have noticed in their breasts to their healthcare provider. For Civic Media News, I'm Isabella Nieto.
I'm Lisa Hale, WISS News.
It's the Brewers and the Dodgers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball, the National League Championship Series. Game one is tonight in Milwaukee. The first pitch at 7:08. Game two tomorrow night. Then they play games 3, 4, and 5 if needed in L.A. in a best-of-7 series to determine who goes to the World Series. NFL, the Packers held on to beat the Bengals 27-18 in Green Bay. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
A lot of these games are going down to the wire. You got to give Cincinnati a ton of credit for what they were able to do, specifically offensively the second half.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Bulls in Chicago 127-121. Doc Rivers likes what he saw from Giannis and their new players.
What we have is more guys getting downhill. Scoot's getting downhill a lot. Cole is getting downhill a lot. Kuz is getting downhill a lot. And Giannis gets downhill. Last year we had Giannis. So even though we led the league in percentage, we just couldn't create enough of them.
That's the Bucks, Doc Rivers, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
WISS, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air. Weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon, with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny, with highs near 60.
It's 57 at our studios. where working people come to talk. It's The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. Did you know Packer Love is international? Join us Wednesday from the Marcus Theater in Waukesha for the world premiere of No Packers, No Life, the story of Japanese Packers fans.
There's a Wisconsin story about our state, our team, who we are, and then there's a universal story about people from all over coming together, regardless of culture, distance, language barrier, and finding amazing community over something completely unexpected.
Join us Wednesday, 2 to 4 for the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
I'm back with one of the most reasonable guys in politics, Tom Paulsiewicz. We dig into what the Pope has recently had to say about Donald Trump's anti-immigrant policies. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. It is 6:06. Good morning. It's a Monday morning, October 13th, 2025. It is another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, catching us on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, website, however you got here. We appreciate you getting your work week started right here. I got a question for you. Can you believe it is October 13th and we are still talking Brewers baseball? Yeah, because the Brewers beat the Cubs and eliminated them and their manager, Craig Counsell, from the postseason, and move on to play for the National League pennant. The League Championship Series starts tonight at American Family Field. I am wearing my Father's Day gift from one of my daughters, one of those Brewers Hawaiian shirts, and producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2, resplendent in his old school Milwaukee t-shirt with the glove logo. You don't see the wheat logo much anymore. It's pretty much all glove everywhere. Oh, yeah. Mr. Olson, it's a great morning to be a Brewers fan.
It is a very great day to be a Brewers fan. It is hopefully a very good week to be a Brewers fan, Pat. I have a little stat for you here.
A stat?
A stat. Okay. The Brewers are 6-0 against the Dodgers this season.
That's right. Yes.
I'm not saying, but not I'm saying. Suggesting.
I'm just saying, you know. There's some who are saying, because you know the old saying is Bucks and six, and they're saying Brewers and six.
Oh yeah,
which I appreciate the sentiment, but why not Brewers and four? You know, I mean,
yeah.
Let's just go ahead and start with the highest of expectations.
Let's get crazy.
Why not? Because let's face it. After game four against the Cubs, we were all mildly panic stricken.
Yeah. You
know, about what game five would be like, and then game five turned out to be pretty okay, pretty okie dokie,
pretty good.
Pretty good. And now we've got some corners of baseball world unhappy with the Brewers, hating on the Brewers, because during the team photo at the end, pitcher Trevor Megill grabbed one of the fly the L flags and held up the L flag up high over the team for one of the photos. And people are going, oh, that's just like no class. Oh, that's just... Do you not know the history of the Chicago Cubs?
By corner of baseball fans, you mean Chicago Cubs fans.
There are Cubs fans who are like, I'm a Cubs fan. I get it. We would have done the same to them.
I've only seen Cubs complaining about it, though. I haven't seen regular people complain.
You know, the people who like would back the Dodgers or the Mets or things, because, you know, they're expecting that, oh, Midwesterners would never, you know, rub it in. Again, have you met the Cubs? So this felt good. Yes, I've stated plenty of times my feelings about this are only amplified by Craig Counsell's decision to stab his team in his hometown in the back. So this has been, that was an especially good game, and especially when it was all on home runs, which was really felt nice.
Yeah.
Although I have to say, I kind of cheated a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I didn't mean to.
Uh-oh.
But this is a story of technology.
Did you use black magic?
No, maybe not. But see, on my phone, yeah. I get, you know, you can get score updates.
Oh.
And on my lock screen, you get these score updates. Well, it turns out that my phone was about either 10 seconds ahead of the TV.
Yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV through the cable system was about 10 seconds behind real time.
Yep.
And the phone will beep if there's a score update in something that I'm following.
Yeah.
And so for each time, Andrew Vaughn, William Contreras, Bryce Terang, they're all up. My phone beeps. Bing! I kind of look out the corner of my eye and I say to Sherry, look at this. And then pop, and it goes over and I'm like, yes. I mean, the first time I probably looked psychic, the second time quizzical, and the third time I looked like an idiot. But it felt so good each time, except for the one time it beeped.
And it wasn't us.
It wasn't us. It was tracking another Iowa touchdown against the Badgers.
Oh, yeah.
And I was just like, you can get off my phone right now. And I did. I deleted that so fast off my lock screen after that, because there was a Brewer hitter up. I forget who. And I hear the beep and I'm like, oh. And there wasn't a home run. And I looked down at the lock screen. And it's like, you know, Iowa scoops up a fumble or whatever. I'm just like, you're done, Badgers. You're just done.
You're dead to me. You cannot dupe me like that.
It's not that they're dead to me. They're just dead.
That's
losing
also
to Iowa 37-0.
Yeah,
I mean,
they don't.
What's 37 might not be the over under on next weekend's game against Ohio State. In fact, I don't do betting, and I'm not.
Last I saw, I thought it was like 20. I don't remember if that was pre or post Iowa.
Now I'm going to look. Let's see. Yeah. 28.5, 28 and a half point favorites.
That's ridiculous.
They are four touchdown favorites over the Badgers. Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
And honestly, anybody who bets the under, no, stop it. Oh, wow.
Hey,
so,
you know,
so that was the story of getting the Badger score updates off my phone while I was trying to enjoy the Brewers game. And let's talk pitching here, because Trevor McGill started, which was unusual. But again, Pat Murphy, genius. You get the kind of the yips out of the way instead of Jacob Mizrowski starting.
Needed a good first inning.
Yep. Had a good. And then, you know, again, that was my most nervous. Was watching Mizrowski. He especially when he gave up the one home run. I was like, oh, I hope this isn't what it is, because let's remember last year in the wild card series.
Yep.
You know, the Brewers were in a position to clinch. They were up two runs in the ninth inning, and Devin Williams allowed four runs in the final inning, including a three-run home run by Pete Alonso.
That's what I was thinking about when Uribe came up.
Yeah. I make you relive all this just because it was in our minds when Mizrowski was on the mound, and then when Abner Uribe was asked to get a two inning save, six outs. And Sherry again is hearing me going, okay, we got six outs to go. Okay, we got five outs to go.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we got four outs to go. I mean, I was just trying to each one of these to happen, because I am very much an Abner Uribe fan.
Yeah.
But I also know that, like Devin Williams last year, you can have those moments where you implode. Mm-hmm. But he did not. He got the final six outs. And so the Brewers are in the postseason, advancing for the first time, winning a division series since 2018, when they then went on to face the Dodgers to go for the National League pennant. And they lost in a heartbreaking game seven, but not this time. We've exercised the demons from the Cubs. Now we're doing it on the Dodgers. This is the vengeance tour.
Crew in six. Let's go. Come on.
There you go. So that takes us to the National League Championship Series. It begins tonight at American Family Field. Coverage begins at 6:30 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, in Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Again, 6:30 for a first pitch at 7:08. The American League Championship Series is already underway. Seattle beat Toronto last night 3-1. And so they will play game two this afternoon at 4:00 ahead of the National League Championship Series game one, Brewers Dodgers at 7:00. Now the schedule sets up like this. It's today and tomorrow night at home for the Brewers against the Dodgers. Then Wednesday is the travel day. And then they're at Dodger Stadium Thursday, Friday, and if necessary, on Saturday. So Thursday, Friday, maybe Saturday, and then a travel day Sunday. And so if they need a game 6 and 7 back here in Milwaukee, it would be next Monday and Tuesday. So Monday, Tuesday this week, Monday, Tuesday next week at American Family Field. But we won't need that. We won't even need to come back to Milwaukee. But if we do,
again, not until the World Series,
we've got that home field advantage, which would be a big help in game 6 and 7. So that's kind of how it all sets up. Tony says, I was really nervous of who they would bring in if Uribe blew it. Yeah, me too. I figured it would be
Koenig. It would have been Koenig.
Yeah.
It would have been fine.
Something. Would have been something. Oh, by the way, the Packers played. Usually we're all in Packer gear at this point, you know, and the Packer game was fine. It was fine. It was a win. It was definitely not what you would call a sexy game, but no. You know, it was a good old fashioned victory. Josh Jacobs running for 2 touchdowns, Tucker Kraft barreling his way into the end zone for a TD reception. I really am liking Tucker Kraft. I mean, we don't always have a great classic tight end. So when we do, you know, a guy that can either catch or block, that's nice. And the Packers beat the Bengals 27-18. Josh Jacobs, not feeling his best. He had the flu. Said he threw up a couple of times during the game. Still managed to carry the ball 18 times, 93 yards. He told his coaches the last time he felt this way, he had 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. So apparently Josh Jacobs needs to play sick as a dog.
He's at his best in flu games. Cool. That's good to know.
Sure. Why not? Jordan Love, 19 of 26 for 259 yards. He had the 19-yard touchdown pass to Tucker Kraft and 1 interception. And it's not dominant, but it gets the job done. Tony writes on YouTube, the Packer game felt like the Browns game at first, where the Packers were better, but they weren't pulling the game away. Yep. Yes, I definitely saw that in the comments on social media. People still feel like Matt LaFleur is not, like he's holding them back. I don't know that I necessarily get that impression. I see Jordan Love going deep a lot. But it definitely didn't feel like a rhythm, I guess. I guess that'd be fair to say.
No, it's really odd. It's been a while since I've felt really good about like consecutive Packer wins. Like the wins against the Lions to start the year was really good. And I don't remember who we beat. I think the Commanders the next week.
Yes.
Those were 2 really good wins back to back. But prior to that, I don't remember feeling awesome after a Packer win for a little while.
It hasn't, and all I'll say in consolation to that is, look, if you're going to feel that way, better closer to the end of the season, I guess. This is a rare home game here. You had the bye week. You had the other road games. Now we're on the road to Arizona next week and to Pittsburgh the week after that. So this was the only October home game for the Packers, and then they won't be home again until November 2nd. But again, they will take on Arizona next Sunday. It is again a 3:25 game. So again, coverage will begin at 1 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you think I'm being a little too tough on the Badgers and you do want to hear a little Badger football against Ohio State next Saturday, coverage begins at 12:30.
Why would you
listen? On some of the stations across the Civic Media
Why
Network.
Why would you do that to yourself?
The Badger women's volleyball team, they got swept on Friday at Penn State, the 7th-ranked Badgers losing to the 19th-ranked Nittany Lions in straight sets on the road Friday. So they took it out yesterday on Maryland and beat up Maryland in straight sets, and they will next play at home Friday night at the Fieldhouse against UCLA. So
and a sweep for Badger women's hockey against Minnesota Duluth.
I did not even know that they were going already.
Yes, they are. Hockey. They had an incredible win on a Friday, I think. They were down a goal, and they scored with like 20.8 seconds left to tie, and then scored to win with like 8 seconds left.
Well, there you go. All right. So we got plenty of sports action to follow. starting first and foremost with the Brewers. You don't see any other gear that we're wearing today. This is how we roll, at least for this week, hopefully. There's other things going on in the world, and we'll tell you what else is coming up on the program and go over some of the headlines. And Dr. Kristen Lierley is along before too much longer. But first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thank you for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol, here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
So here's what's coming up this morning here on the program. State Representative Jody Emerson from Eau Claire will be along to talk about a new package of bills supporting higher education in Wisconsin, which to many of us sounds like a no-brainer, but is not for certain parts of our legislature. And so she's going to unveil what she's got proposed and the difference between what others in the legislature would be doing for colleges and universities in the state of Wisconsin. We'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lierley. She'll join us, I should say, for today's history lesson coming up in just a little over 10 minutes. And then after 7 o'clock, we will talk about the government shutdown and how President Trump made his latest move related to the shutdown, firing like 1,000 people at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, because nothing says running a government capably than letting go the people who respond to Ebola and measles outbreaks and other things. So Dr. Lierley will have some thoughts on that. We'll talk to a Civic Media Sports Director, Jimmy Cuska, of course, about the Brewers and the Packers. We'll be joined by our Civic Media friends, John and Gordy from Madison, Jane Matinair, whose program follows ours at 9 o'clock across the Civic Media Radio Network. And if you're saying, Pat, please stop, that is too much, I cannot handle all of that, I can't stick around, then pod the program. Get over to Spotify or Apple, follow the show there, and listen on demand. You can even, I don't know why you'd want to do this, but you could fast forward. You could listen at, you know, 1.5 or double speed to get through it quicker. But that's one way to do it, is get over to Spotify and follow us that way. Or watch us later on Facebook or YouTube, and that start and stop as you like. But those are some of the things we're coming up for you yet this morning. Yesterday came our Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow Sunday newsletter from the folks at Up North News and Courier Newsroom, and it includes our question of the week. Our question of the week this week deals with mining, metallic mining for things like, you know, gold, copper, zinc, and other other elements that we know are up there. We've always known they're up there to some degree. The question is whether it's worth the price to dig the mines. I mean, even the test drilling that was recently done up north had some issues, like sediment that washed away into a wetland and a borehole that was left open, which could allow for cross-contamination of aquifers. But there are others who say, you know, once they start mining, they're going to do it responsibly. So do you agree? I ask in the newsletter, where are you on mining? Is it, you know, no way, not ever, don't need it, not worth it? Is it, I'm open to the idea as long as there are really good regulations and protections? Or option C was drill, baby, drill, that the mining companies can police themselves. So what do you think of that? And you can send us a response by responding to the newsletter. Sign up for the newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Tony asks on YouTube, Dr. Lyerly talked to Chris Matthews. Yes, the former Hardball host. I saw that she had posted a video being interviewed by Chris Matthews for his program. Tony also asks about the if you listen by podcast instead of speeding it up, can I slow it down to enjoy it for 4 hours? Yes, Tony, you can. But I don't know why anybody would want to do that. So again, thank you. And you can put your own comments in there as well in the comment sections of YouTube and Facebook. That would be the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages, or the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. On the subject of, you know, regulations for things like mining and other environmental regulations, I haven't given this talk for a while, but I'm going to give it again because there's a package of bills put forth by Republicans in the legislature that went through the next step in the committee process. On its road to nowhere, this package of bills is going to be vetoed by Governor Tony Evers if it ever gets to his desk, but Republicans are always looking to make some kind of a statement by working on these things that are going nowhere anyway. And this new package of bills is all about attacking those pesky government regulations. We hear about regulations all the time. The headline for this Wisconsin Public Radio article, lawmakers debate GOP bills designed to cut back on state regulations and deregulation and overregulation. So here's the talk I haven't given for a while. When you hear regulations, when you hear deregulations, anything about regulations, take out the word regulations, put in the word protections. Because by and large, that's what those are. They're protecting something. They're either protecting the environment, or they're protecting you as a consumer, or they're protecting you as an employee. Now, I'm not here to say that every regulation is perfect and that every regulation has to stay on the books. The trick to being a lawmaker, as I discovered firsthand, is basically eternal vigilance. Always being aware that some regulation isn't living up to what its authors promised. It needs to be modified, or it needs to be removed. It needs adjustments. But to erase regulations for the sake of erasing regulations is really just attacking protections. In other words, you're doing the bidding of some business or some group that wants to remove those protections so that they can, for example, drill as much as they want and not have to worry about those pesky regulations about groundwater contamination or the regulations on things like, you know, child labor, because there are people that want to address the labor shortage in this country, not by fixing immigration, but by letting more 14-year-olds and 13-year-olds and 12-year-olds do job duties that we passed child labor laws a century ago to deal with so that our kids would not be facing those kinds of troubles. But people say, oh, it's those pesky regulations. And so these bills are making their way through the committee process right now, again, to make that statement. And while they won't go anywhere, it is an ongoing GOP talking point that says Wisconsin is one of the most heavily regulated states in the country. Thank goodness. I like living in a state that puts a priority on protecting children from exploitation and protecting employees and protecting the environment. It's what makes Wisconsin such a great state to live in. And what say we not go backwards? We have got today's history lesson. Dr. Lyerly will be joining us in just a bit, starting with the singer and keyboardist for the group Chicago. On the way, I'm Pat Kreitlow.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
An abused dog is safe at the Oshkosh Area Humane Society and is getting medical treatment after concerned citizens brought the issue up to police. Civic Media's Connie Fellman reports.
Oshkosh police are commending citizens for letting them know when they saw a man beating and kicking a bloodied dog in the head on Thursday. Video taken by bystanders shows the dog lying on the floor, bleeding from its mouth and head, and the man kicking the dog in the head hard enough to make the dog's entire body move. The dog is described as a young female pit bull. Officers found the dog in the suspect's home with a head injury as well as three large lacerations on her head in various stages of healing. Police also found six other dogs there. All seven dogs were taken to the Oshkosh Area Humane Society. In a statement, Oshkosh police said these acts are both inhumane and unacceptable and commended the people who reported it. They say the suspect had also threatened witnesses with physical injury. Police found the man walking in the street about a mile and a half away and took him into custody.
The unsanctioned biannual pub crawl observed by many UW Oshkosh students resulted in arrests and weapons violations over the weekend. The Oshkosh police report that on Saturday night, police were sent to the intersection of Scott and Cherry for several males brandishing firearms. A 17-year-old Nina man was arrested for first-degree recklessly endangering safety, among other charges. While still in the area, another altercation involving about 100 people took place, resulting in an officer being knocked down and receiving a head injury. Meanwhile, a Wisconsin state trooper observes another individual in the 800 block of Scott with a gun and began a foot chase, after which a 20-year-old from Ripon was arrested and put on a parole hold. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Normally, I prefer to see movies in the theater, but we'll have to rethink that when Minecraft 2 comes out. Variety reports a Minecraft sequel is in the works after the first flick made almost $1 billion worldwide. Not sure if you remember or heard this, but there is a zombie chicken baby scene that made teenage boys do very gross things in the movie theater. You might want to sit that one out and wait for it to stream. Minecraft 2 is scheduled to hit theaters July 23rd of 2027. Variety is also reporting that Bradley Cooper is in talks to star in the prequel of the Ocean's 11 franchise. The film will be set before the first Steven Soderbergh version of Ocean's 11 in 2001. This franchise is a remake of the original Ocean's 11 from 1960 that starred Frank Sinatra and some of his Rat Pack pals. The new film is rumored to be set in 1960s Europe. Margot Robbie is already on board to play the female lead. They are really milking this ocean thing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WISS, the Fox Valley's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, a chance of showers. We'll see a low around 52. Slight chance of a shower to start your Monday, then becoming sunny in the afternoon with highs in the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. Monday night, clear, 41. Tuesday, partly sunny with highs near 60.
It's 57 at our studios.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, what is the view from across the pond for Democrats who live overseas? We're going to hear from George King IV from Democrats Abroad. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
This song never fails to put me in a better mood. It's just nice and upbeat. It's Chicago. It's Beginnings. It was written by Robert Lamb, who turns 81 years old today. Songwriter, keyboardist. He wrote many of the band's biggest hits, including Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is?, 25 or 6 to 4, Saturday in the Park, and more. He is one of three founding members still performing with the group that they founded back in 1967. Welcome to today's history lesson, where we are joined by the one and only Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Dr. Lyerly, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay.
Somebody's still recovering. You were not at the game yesterday. I was surprised to hear.
I was kind of planning to ride my bike there, because that is one of my favorite things in the world, is to ride my bike to Lambeau, tailgate, and then come home and listen. And I just wasn't feeling up to it. So we made soup instead and hung out with the boys.
You know what you should have done? You should have gone down the road just a little bit to where I was Friday to get roasted chicken at Schuster's in Denmark. Roasted chicken. Roasted chicken in Northeast Wisconsin, ain't nothing like it.
I still don't really know what broasted means. It's broiled. It's roasted.
It's a different kind of invention. A lot of people kind of refer to it as a Nesco as well, but it is something where you are essentially pressure cooking it and baking it at the same time. In other words, you need it. You need a special piece of machinery. You can't just call something broasted. You have to use an actual broaster. And if you do it, and if you do it right, it is the best chicken that you will ever have. And you get that with some mashed potatoes and gravy and some kneecaps. You know, not the kind that you're recovering from, Kristen, but the little pastries. Basically, it's a little mini
donut. That's a very Denmark thing.
It's a very Northeast Wisconsin thing, except it's not a mini donut. There's just an indentation, not a hole. And you put powdered sugar and whipped cream on that. And oh, my goodness. So good. So good. Anyway, let's get back to today's history lesson, because I'm making myself hungry. And this one is just for Alicia, who really liked the last segment, saying I could not have said it better, Pat. Well, Alicia, this is for you. On this day in 1775, the Continental Congress established the Continental Navy, predecessor of today's United States Navy.
Alicia, of course, a proud Navy veteran, like so many other folks out there. So, you know, so much respect from us, the people who you have served and fought for. Not so much from the federal government, who has a lot of lip service, but not actual, support.
Including not actual paychecks like right now. But happy 250th birthday to the United States Navy. On this day in 1792 in Washington, D.C., the cornerstone was laid for what was then called the Executive Mansion, later known as the White House. Again, this day in 1792. Happy birthday to singer Paul Simon. He is 84 years old today.
Do you have a favorite Paul Simon song?
Do I have a favorite Paul Simon song? Oh, gosh. Good question. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard comes to mind. Mm-hmm. There's so much. I mean, either with with a guy named Art Garfunkel, who was a pretty good singer in his own right. And then he had such a great solo career. But this would also be in the top two or three, Kodachrome.
Yeah.
Yeah. A couple of baseball notes here. On this day in 1903, the Boston Red Sox won the first modern World Series, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates in the eighth game of what was then a best 5-of-9 series.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It used to be stupidly long.
Stupidly long. there are some people that will tell you 7 games is stupidly long to them, but
yeah,
it's better than those stupid 1-game playoffs. But yeah, best of nine might be a bit much. Another baseball note, on this day in 1969, Billy Martin was fired as manager of the Minnesota Twins. Keep in mind, the Minnesota Twins had just won the division with 97 victories, but they were eliminated in the postseason by the Baltimore Orioles, and the team owner, Calvin Griffith, finally had enough of Billy's volatile personality and fired the guy that had just won them a division.
That sounds like a Minnesota sports move. Just saying.
It sounds like a Billy Martin move, who I get years later would be at a bar in the Twin Cities. I think he was managing the Yankees at the time and got in a fight with a marshmallow salesman in a hotel bar.
What? Oh, my God.
He had a way.
Yes. I miss those days of, like, you just hear about the ball players at the bar after the game. I wish we still got those stories.
There are, well, I know there are a couple of bars around Green Bay, one or two that are still operating, that were operating back in, you know, the glory days of the 60s.
Yeah.
And there are stories that can be told, and there are stories that cannot be told about the things that went on at some of those local watering holes. Happy birthday to singer Sammy Hagar. He is 68 years old today.
He seems like he should be older or dead. Either one.
Again, I mean, phrase, ridden hard and put away wet would be Sammy Hagar, who still can't drive 55. He'd rather drive his age, which is now 68 years old today. All right. One of those stupidly easy pop quizzes, I hope, for Parker here. Hunter and businessman Leonwood Bean was born this day in 1872. What business did Leonwood Bean begin?
If it's not L.L. Bean, I'm going to be really mad.
It is L.L. Bean. Okay, so congratulations on that. Yes. Singer Marie Osmond, little Marie Osmond. She is a senior citizen today, 65 years old.
She's a little bit country.
And a little bit rock and roll. Sacha Baron Cohen is 54 years old today. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is 36 years old today. All right, I am happy to say that last night I finally finished the, like, 5+ hour Billy Joel documentary.
It's good, isn't it?
Just to tell you that on this day in 1978, Billy Joel's 6th studio album was released. It was entitled 52nd Street. It would go on to win the Grammy Award for Album of the Year.
We all know these songs. We know all of these songs.
We do. Mm-hmm. There was Big Shot, Honesty, My Life, Rosalinda's Eyes. And so back to the documentary, I promised Greg Bach that we would use Friday's history lesson this week and it would basically just be a Billy Joel appreciation segment. But I'm going to tell you anyway here on this Monday as well. You have until Friday now to go watch it. I watched it on the HBO Max app. It is just so good.
And it's so real. Like, it doesn't gloss over his mental health struggles and his, I mean, Christie Brinkley on the brink of tears as she's talking about their marriage.
Oh. It's not a lot of people can get all four of their wives or ex-wives to appear in a documentary and speak from the heart about how much they still love him. But, you know, there were the demons. Mm-hmm. And the same goes with band members, you know, who've been with him for literally decades. But again, as somebody who just loves great songwriting, the what do they call it? The beautiful torture that you go through writing what you hope is a hit. Mm-hmm. But sometimes you're just writing from the heart. And then his whole struggles with his early childhood and, you know, his father and everything else just makes it such a well done documentary. So. Mm-hmm. Again,
I love it when they tell the full story, because then it really gives you the insight to who this person is and where their artistic fire mm-hmm. comes from.
Oh, and I loved when he was talking about, meeting Christie Brinkley for the first time, you know, at a bar in the Caribbean. And it was her and Elle McPherson and another model who was a surprisingly good singer by the name of Whitney Houston. Like, what? What? where did that come from, you know? I have to make a correction here. There is a reason Sammy Hagar looks 10 years older. He actually is 10 years older. Troy and Madison points out that I'm an idiot at math, and he is 78 years old, not 68. Troy says, I was at his 60th party 18 years ago.
Whoa.
So, yeah.
Rock on, Troy.
I know. Now, that's a story. Now that you know how to use the text line or use the voicemail feature, I want to hear some of those stories. Exactly. So, anyway, so Sammy Hagar, yes, I'm looking at the math here, 78 years old today. All right, on this day in 1979, the number one song was by Michael Jackson.
Now I'm feeling a little bit better.
I know.
Want to get up and dance.
Well, and again, people of a certain age go, oh yeah, that's from Off the Wall. Yes. Mm-hmm. It was the first track from his solo Off the Wall, the first where he had creative control of his music rather than the people who were doing the music for the Jackson 5. And it would be the first of four singles off that album and really launch his grown-up career, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. On this day in 1983, the first cellular network in the country was launched in the Chicago area by Ameritech. That particular network is now part of Verizon. On this
you
day,
got, wait a minute, did you have one of those giant brick phones?
I did, yes, and it was so cool. It's like, look, I'm talking on a cellular phone, and holding up this brick to your head. It was so, and you thought that was the ultimate. It's never going to get better than this. You can take the phone with you. Mm-hmm. It did get better. It was still pretty cool. That was 1983. In 1984, the number one song was by Stevie Wonder.
I just called to say, aww, I love you.
Did that ever inspire you to call Sherry and be like, I'm having a moment right now, Sherry. I'm aww, just calling to say I love you.
Yeah, but it wasn't that song, but I'm sure there were others. This was from the soundtrack of the movie The Woman in Red back in 1984. On this day in 2008, 5 months after marrying Jay-Z, Beyoncé released a sassy song about it.
Y'all miss Pat doing his little hand flip.
Do a little hand thing. That's right. Yep.
I didn't even see it.
I can't do the other part where you're like, you know, moving your arms and it's...
You could, I think.
I
with
could.
A little practice.
Yeah.
Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah.
Or I could we do this tomorrow?
Fall down and
I think we can do this.
Yep. Yeah.
I'll train him up.
It would be the number one song for 4 weeks and win the Grammy for Song of the Year, again, back in 2008. A story that had a happy ending, a mining accident in Chile this week in 2010, came to a happy ending as all 33 miners who had been buried underground for 69 days arrived safely at the surface. What an amazing rescue. And I brought that up because I'm sure we have all forgotten about it, but we needed that moment to remember something good that happened in the news. And that happened this week in 2010.
Amazing. It would be amazing to talk with them about, like, it's been 15 years now.
Yeah.
So what was that like in retrospect, and how did that change their lives?
I remember, I don't know how long ago now, 2-3 years ago, reading an article about it, and how everybody was doing surprisingly well, except for, like, one person who never truly recovered from, like, their PTSD of dealing with it, you know? Mm-hmm. But again, by and large, a happy story. And on this day in 2016... Bob Dylan was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, a category with winners like John Steinbeck and William Faulkner. The award was given for having created new poetic expressions within the great American song tradition, to which I would respond, honey, you know. You have to be able to hear them. Yeah. There is today's history lesson. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, we will talk to Kristen more about the government shutdown. Because, I mean, after all, what good is running the government if you can't, you know, fire the people who respond to Ebola outbreaks? You know, little things like that. That's coming up after the news, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a three-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. Stroke risk may increase. Eliquis can cause serious and potentially fatal bleeding. Don't take if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or bleed longer. A spinal injection increases blood clot risk, which may cause paralysis. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or bruising, or back pain, tingling, numbness, muscle weakness, or incontinence. Aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
It's officially October, which means it's time to celebrate Halloween all month long. And if you're looking for some of the best Halloween events or all of the different trunk-or-treats that are around for the kids, don't you worry, I got you covered. From raves, trunk-or-treats, glow-in-the-parks, or Halloween parties, I will meticulously search just for you, so you don't have to stress. You can just have fun instead. Just go to WISS.FM and click events. You're welcome.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The following is a paid sponsorship.
From the Civic Media Network, I'm Brad Anthony here with Marla Kopecky-Penny, founder of Focus on Freedom. She has spent the last 20 years working with children and adults with disabilities and their families as an in-home therapist, educator, and now business owner. Welcome to radio.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with the heart of it all. What is Focus on Freedom and what inspired its creation?
Focus on Freedom came about after about 15 years of supporting families and children across the gamut, such as in homes, education, all of those pieces and parts, and noticing slight gaps in the system of how are we helping our loved ones with diverse abilities, disabilities, achieve bigger things in life and have that sense of purpose and build that independence. And so when I noticed the gap, I started piecing things together and connecting with people. And I began in June of 2019.
Wow, congratulations. Well, you offer a wide variety of things, everything from one-on-one, including daily living skills training and career planning for individuals, along with caregiver support on demand, in-person, one-on-one, or small group meetings. What makes your approach to support so unique?
Well, we have continued to grow and expand over time. And what I mean by that is we went from being more focused on the individual and focusing on their successes and their achievements to really looking at the whole family. And the reason that we chose to do that is because it isn't just about the individual and supporting them. It's about supporting the family as a whole, because we impact each other, and how we support, learn, and grow and work together is what ultimately defines all of our success. Whether you're the parent, the child, the brother, the sister, the grandma, the grandpa, working together is what achieves success. And so that's where we started to really not only support the individuals, but to really expand upon those caregiver supports to really help them navigate systems and supports as well, when you are finding out your loved one has been diagnosed with a disability.
Now, you talk about helping families go from surviving to thriving. What does that transformation look like?
That is a fabulous question.
It's loaded, I know.
It is very loaded, but I love loaded questions, so thank you for asking me that.
Yes.
It really starts with one nugget. So I always share with people is we will start first by building a relationship, because this is one of the most vulnerable industries there is. One, as a caregiver and a parent, you are welcoming somebody into your home where they're going to see you day in and day out and how you do business.
Yes.
As a trainer coming into the home, you're also vulnerable because you're doing your work in front of.
It makes everybody nervous.
Exactly. That's why it's so vulnerable, right? So you have to be open to the vulnerability of it first. And when you're open to vulnerability, that's what helps you take that one nugget of information or that one piece of information. I don't give you the whole gamut and say, here, do all of this.
Yeah.
We give you a nugget. And then when you are like, okay, I can handle that, then we take the next step and the next step. So, for example, within my personalized family support plan, it's a plan for the family. So for some families, they're looking for help within the education system and how to navigate qualifying for something called special education within our education systems. And what does that look like? And what are these plans? Really unveiling the transparency of that to offer them a level playing field when they walk into the meetings with the school districts.
Now, you serve several counties in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about building relationships and trust with these communities. How does it all start? Does it take a few meetings to finally get comfortable with everybody and everything going on?
Every situation and every family is different. I'm pretty sure you've probably met people where you like sink right away and it's like,
oh, yeah,
you've known each other forever.
Especially if they got free food.
Right? Exactly. And so you have those people you just instantly connect with, but you also have people where it's like they're more concerned or conservative, or you're navigating a very vulnerable situation.
It's very sensitive.
It is super sensitive. So really, I call it, a lot of people call it reading the room. I call it being a chameleon to my trainers when I do trainings for my trainers. It's truly working through our perspectives, our assumptions, our judgments, that when we're walking into the room, reading the room, recognizing where we're at, and recognizing like everybody's coming to this meeting together with the purpose of succeeding and thriving.
Yes.
So one how goal. Are we going to help support you in that journey? What's that nugget we start with? First, by building the relationship and trust, by being that sounding board, that non-judgmental sounding board, which often comes with feeling judged when you're in those caregiver roles. That's number one feeling oftentimes I hear from families, is I feel judged for how I'm parenting and what I'm doing, and other parents of neurotypical children don't understand.
Right.
And so it's really coming in open and listening with curiosity from their perspective and how they're feeling and what they're seeing. And then just giving a little nugget of information to think about, to ponder, or to implement. It's those small baby steps that get you from surviving to thriving. And it's, I call it a long range goal. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen immediately, but I guarantee you're going to look back in a year and be like, wow, we went from here to here.
Wow. Well, briefly, you have a history as a teacher, an evaluation of an IEP, and you help families understand what that is. We have a little bit more time before we go to the break, but What is an IEP and what does that whole thing look like?
That's a fabulous question. An IEP is something called an individualized education plan. It is a plan developed if you meet the educational criteria and are deemed as needing additional education support within the school system. So there are different eligibility criteria that you can qualify for. Most commonly, you'll hear a learning disability. You can qualify intellectual disability, autism under the educational umbrella. Caveat, different than the medical umbrella. They are not the same. But that's a whole nother discussion. But there are a series of areas that you are evaluated for.
Awesome. We'll briefly touch on that coming back after the break. It's Brad Anthony with the Civic Media Network here with Marla Kopecky-Penny, founder of Focus on Freedom. It's been great talking with you so far.
Yes, this is awesome.
All right. We'll be back in a few moments right here on the Civic Media Network.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Brian Clark. It's been a day of joy in Israel as all 20 living hostages were returned by Hamas under the terms of a peace agreement. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking to Parliament, called President Trump the greatest friend Israel's ever had in the White House. The president right now addressing the Israeli Parliament said,
"The sun rises on a holy land that is finally at peace, a land and a region that will live, God willing, in peace for all eternity."
The future will be the topic of a peace summit in Egypt later today. President Trump will be a co-chair, but ABC's James Longman's there and says,
"The next stage will be even more difficult because this 20-point plan is the deal that he wants. Donald Trump often talks deals into existence. It's the end point. How we get there, though, that's going to be difficult. How will Hamas disarm?"
This is ABC News.